Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hello fellow Beastians, this is the Gaming Beast, and today this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. I don't have too much to talk about other than a couple of things here. I'm going to talk about some role-playing related things, because I've been hanging out with in the RPG Brigade, which is a YouTube group of people. Basically, it's a Facebook group for people who do YouTube channels about role-playing games, and also just general people who are interested in these channels and generally interested in role-playing games. It's really cool. I've been hanging out there talking. I've been posting response videos, and I want to continue that a little bit, talking more about role-playing games, and I will do that. First I'm going to get some of the movie news out of the way. Not too much has been happening. There's one thing that I find kind of unsettling. It's kind of that they're announced the project now. That doesn't mean anything if this project will happen or not, because this could fail very early. Warner Horizon is wants to return to Oz with Red Brick Road, and that's supposed to be some kind of semi sequel to Oz, and it's saying, but it's more of a sci-fi angle. No, for example, the Tin Woodsman is now a robot, and I'm like, who? The dark and edgy show. That's the only reason I'm reading this. The show was created by artist Rob Pryor and will be executive produced by Lee with Mark Wolper through Vertigo Entertainment. Now, I'm not sure about this. Like, already dark and edgy is already a big no-no, especially when it's, yeah, I don't know, when it's Wizard of Oz. You know, Wizard of Oz is pretty much a fairy tale, okay? Wizard of Oz is great as it is, you know, and then nobody has dared to touch a direct, has dared to make a direct remake, you know. There has been a couple of, I guess, I know that there's a bunch of cartoon versions and whatever, but I always liked the original one. I did like the one, the musical one, where Michael Jackson was the Scarecrow, because I thought it was funny that he's the Scarecrow, especially because this is before he got, like, really weird and shit, I think. I mean, he was weird already, but it was actually pretty cool, because it was like, you know, they were dancing and they were singing, and as a kid I've seen it, and I'm like, wait, this is like The Wizard of Oz, but different. But it's kind of cool, you know. And I don't know the exact the Wiz or something like that, which is just kind of weird, kind of funny to name. Red Brick Road, when they say dark and edgy, oh, the Tin Woodsman is now a robot. I mean, like, oh, I've never heard this before. Wait a second, you know. Rip off much off of Tin Man. I don't know if you remember Tin Man, but Tin Man was a really cool miniseries, which did exactly that. It took Wizard of Oz and made it into a sci-fi universe, basically. And it was really cool. It still was very fantasy-ish, but I don't even remember. It was fantasy. It was fantasy, but there was sci-fi elements into it. And I think the Tin Man was a robot, an android of some sort, but it was pretty cool. Let me see here. Tin Man, it was co-produced. It was basically a Sci-Fi Channel original movie, like a miniseries. And this is one of the ones that is actually really good. The special effects were good. The characters were interesting. It was a nice take on it. Now, The thing is about taking these fairy tales and giving it a twist. It's fine and good, but it's like we've seen this already, you know. And okay, you have to give us something really interesting to make this interesting, you know. And Tin Man was cool. It had Zooey Deschanel as Dorothy, and she's DG in this movie. 'Cause it's 2000 whatever when that was made, and we have to be cool. But this wasn't really. I mean, there were some dark elements to it and whatever. But the thing was, in this one, the Tin Man guy is an android. The Lion Dude is some weird alien who has like psychic powers, who actually thought it was cool. Well, in this world, it's like the zone or something. And there's also magic in it and stuff, but it's cool, you know, and in a way I'm feeling Red Brick Road wants to be that, and I'm like, can we not leave Wizard of Oz alone, unless it's American McGee's Oz or something really unique? And can we just not t I mean, you know what I've really been hating recently on the style of movies that they have been making? Taking some kind of classical fairy tale, making it some kind of fantasy monster romp. Like they did what needed what is it? Snow White and the Huntsman. Some kind of weird fantasy flick was just like, what the hell? This is a s simple fairy tale, you know. There's no s swords and wizards and shit. I'm like, you give out such a big budget for this, yet you cannot acquire the rights to a novel and make an awesome movie. Like, you cannot make a good Dungeons and Dragons, a good Forgotten Realms, but you can try to make a fantasy movie out of a fairy tale and fail at it with the Twilight chick. I mean, oh yeah, here we go. First look at RoboCop. He looks like Cyclops. He looks like Cyclops stole Dark Knight Batman's outfit. And this website is still like Joseph Gordon-Levitt would consider joining Justice League. I mean, this is like old news, because now this is the other news I wanted to talk about. And I don't care about Red Brick Road. I mean, dark and edgy is already a big no-no word for me, especially when it comes to these colorful franchises that should not be dark and edgy, you know, like Superman or like Oz or stuff like that. And yeah, Justice League is before even one picture has been filmed, it is already failing. Now, all what I've seen, a lot of people like Movie Bob and says, "Oh, the movie has already failed before it started." They are doing a good thing here. What they said is that they're hiring a new writer. Now, there's a good chance that this movie might fail and might linger. It's kind of in development hell right now, but it's more like Will Beale's only movie. He wrote it, Castle, which is some kind of a crime show with the guy David Boreanaz, I think. I think it's that, or is it the guy from Firefly? Yeah, it's the guy from Firefly, who I forgot his name, Nathan Fillion. And I don't care about crime shows, because it's always the same thing. I mean, it has to be something really interesting for me to get interested. It's like, there's a murder, there's a cop. The cop has some kind of gimmick, some kind of personality, blah blah blah, same shit. He goes, he looks for clues, he finds the killer somehow, solves the crime, the end. Now, they've variated this formula endless times, putting in here and there shit left and right. But if there's nothing that really interests me, I mean, I've watched crime shows. The reason why they're doing them, because they're safe, you know. And I'm sick of crime shows, you know. I'm sick of seeing the cop, the detective, the lawyer for the 100th time solve the case. It's boring. I don't give a fuck about it. Unless there's something interesting about it, you know. Law and Order, boring as fuck. Couldn't remember even one episode. I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's just not for me. I mean, every show, it's like a show for really boring people. It's like, I'm not saying that you're necessarily really boring, but it's just not for me. Anyway, so Will Beale, the only movie that I remember him writing, the only actual movie, not TV series, that he wrote was Gangster Squad. And I was really, really worried that they got this guy to write possibly which should be the greatest superhero movie ever. I mean, it should be bigger than Avengers. I'm more of a Marvel fan, but Avengers are cool and are they're awesome and they can be very much epic. But I mean, Justice League is on a whole nother level when you're talking about power level and shit that they do. And yeah, the Avengers do some, you know, they save the world, they save the universe too. But I mean, Justice League, I mean, the thing about the Justice League, you had a lot of characters in there that were way famous before they ever got famous in the Justice League. I mean, it's all A-listers when it comes to nerds, you know. When it comes to general public, there's two A-listers and everybody else that they don't recognize, because DC Warner has been shitty about pushing their other characters, and now they're kind of scrambling left and right. They don't know what the fuck they're doing, honestly. What's Will Beale? How does he write his name? It's kind of a weird way he writes it. Give me a freaking break. Where is his name? 6.7 on IMDb. Let's check this on Rotten Tomatoes, shall we? 6.7 doesn't look that bad. I know on Rotten Tomatoes it stinks, but then again, I don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes on many movies that they have reviewed. And it's like kind of the a bunch of reviewers, and it's the... Although I must say Emma Stone does look hot in that red dress, you know. That might be something I would be interested in. So Will Beale. Let me see all of the movies that he wrote. So Castle, he wrote a bunch of episodes for Castle. You see, all of the movies that are listed here, the only movie that has actually came out is Gangster Squad. Everything else, he's apparently writing the remake of Logan's Run, and I'm like, oh my god, it's going to be like freaking dark and gritty, and like, there's not going to be any lasers or any kind of energy weapons whatsoever. Everything's going to be black or gray with some neon lights here and there. It's going to suck. It's going to look like the, Total Recall remake. It's going to look like every fucking movie nowadays that is a sci-fi movie. And maybe I'm just an old grumpy old man, but okay, here's Justice League screenplay announced. And of course IMDb, they haven't updated it. And IMDb isn't a good source on these things, because you can announce a movie and it's going to be an IMDb. So yeah. And apparently, well, Justice League was supposed to come out 2015, which is, I mean, we have now already, we're way into 2013. And the thing is, people want to see this movie. A lot of nerds want to see this happen. A lot of the DC, pretty much every DC fan wants, there's a lot, okay, not every DC fan wants to see it because they're so worried that Warner will fuck it up. And I can agree with them, because look at Green Lantern. Warner was saying to us, this is going to be the Green Lantern movie you wanted to see. And lo and behold, we get CGI suit, and we get the rom-com star as one of the greatest superheroes. This was supposed to make Green Lantern cool, and all it did, it made people just didn't... They gave less fuck about Green Lantern, you know. He was like, oh, he's not Batman, then I don't care. He's not Batman, Spider-Man, or Wolverine, and I don't care. Even less. Where the fuck? Gangster Squad. I want to see how much this is rated. 32%. Okay, this is basically the consensus. Though it's stylish and features a talented cast, Gangster Squad suffers from lackluster writing, underdeveloped characters, and an excessive amount of violence. You see, this is not what we're going to see. And I'm not saying he wouldn't obviously make Justice League that violent, because obviously it would be at most PG-13, you know. It's probably, Justice League is going to be PG-13, because they don't think they want to do it PG, because You know, the PG-13 is a good rating for Justice League. I mean, it has to be, you know. It cannot be PG. It shouldn't be R. It won't be R, obviously, because they want to get lots of people. They want to get the $1 billion box office. You know, they want to get the... Because now, if you don't make $1 billion, then your movie sucks, apparently. Well, or like, at least, like, I don't know, whatever. I'm just kind of... People have been already saying everywhere, because, oh, this movie is doomed, it's never going to happen. Now, what Warner has said is that they dropped the screenplay from Will Beal, because apparently it sucked. And, whoa, surprise there, Warner Brothers. The guy, his first movie is released. A guy who's written a couple of scripts for a TV show. His first big movie was released, and it was a flop, and it sucked. And the only other movies that he has have yet to be released. Lethal Weapon 5, only announced. Nobody knows when it comes out. Logan's Run, only announced. Nobody knows. Who knows if those will come out now? Now that they've seen Gangster Squad is back. I mean, film producers are notorious for dropping people like hot potatoes, because it's all an investment for them. So, okay, Justice League, 2015. I think if they're not going to use the script, they don't have a director, they don't have a script now, because apparently the script sucked. But I'm happy that they're dropping Will Beal. I'd rather not see a Justice League movie than see it be shitty, because that's what have been Justice League Mortal, which was supposed to come out 2008 or something. And they wanted to beat Marvel to the punch. And they got some C-list actors, some complete unknowns. One guy was Armie Hammer, who was supposed to be the Lone Ranger in the new Lone Ranger movie, which looks bad. And he was supposed to be Batman. The guy's younger than me. And I'm like, no. No, no, no. Batman should be at least in his 30s, if not mid-30s, maybe even 40s. Superman should be younger than him somewhat. Everybody is like... Okay. Another thing is, Joseph Gordon-Levitt should not be Batman. Okay? That's just... I'm sick of the Nolan vs. Batman. I'll just say it out loud. Yes, the Nolan Batman was good and all, but you cannot do the whole dark and gritty realistic and no other superhero exists, because you're so ashamed of the other superheroes, DC, Warner, or at least, what is it, their golden child, Nolan. He's like, well, the other heroes don't exist and blah, 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 because they're not cool enough and they're not Batman. And then you want to try to take that Batman, that new Batman, which is some kind of New York cop. He's not even Robin. Oh, he's called Robin, but he's not Robin. Don't delude yourself, people. That was also just shoehorned in, because he was saying, "Oh, I'm going to tease people, you know, because I couldn't put in a proper Robin in the time of three movies, because he's also lame and gay, and all the macho assholes will say, oh, it's Robin, you know." I'm like, nobody was asking to put him in the original, like, what, the old school outfit where he just had the, what is it, that the green underpants and shit. There is a lot of different Robin costumes that look pretty cool, and you could design one, and you could have done him right. You could have had Nightwing, and if Joseph Gordon-Levitt would have been Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Nightwing, and he would become the new Batman, I could accept that. But my biggest issue is, he shouldn't be the new Batman right away, and he shouldn't be the Batman that goes to the Justice League. Not in the first movie, you know. Properly, there should be a Teen Titans movie. But hell, we can't even get a goddamn Justice League movie, let alone a Teen Titans movie. All we can get is a weird anime Teen Titans, which is okay. But it's like, even in the fucking Teen Titans movie, they can barely reference Batman. Okay, you can see him once or twice, apparently, but he doesn't even have his ears. And I'm like, what the fuck? You cannot put in Batman in a Teen Titans movie. So apparently the Teen Titans are the only superheroes in that version of the DC universe. What the fuck? So the entire DC world is protected by the sidekicks? Are you kidding me? Nothing against Robin and co. They're cool and all. But where's Superman? Where's Batman? Where's Green Lantern? Where's The Flash? Where's goddamn Lobo? That's what I want to know. Where's goddamn Lobo to kick those Teen Titans up a notch and then get their asses saved by Batman, Superman, and friends? You know? I know what he was doing. He didn't want to take the limelight from Robin and the others. But if you're gonna do a Batman, because he is in that universe, you know, he has been shown. But I don't understand DC Warner's policy that, oh, you cannot have one character if he's on the big screen. You cannot have him pop up on the TV screen, at least in live action. You know, you have this. They have these rules. They have these rules which I call shoot in the foot rules, because nobody's gonna mix up the Batman of the big TV screen with the Batman with the movie screen with the Batman on a TV screen. You know, the last time there was any kind of Batman in a TV show was Birds of Prey, and I want to watch that series because basically what they said in that series is that Batman and Catwoman had a kid and it's Huntress, and Batman and Catwoman disappeared, and it looked cool because Batman looked like properly Batman and Catwoman looked like Catwoman, and you could have Batman in a TV series without having Batman. Basically you had Huntress and you had also Batgirl and whatever, and you had Oracle. I haven't seen it sadly yet because, you know, but I want to see it and I want to see how they did it. This was just before Smallville. And Smallville couldn't have Batman, and I'm not saying Smallville is good or anything. Smallville is a fucking soap opera with pretending at times to be a superhero show, but it's not really, because Superman cannot fly and he cannot put in his costume, and I'm like, what the fuck? Superman is running around. You know, that's beneath him. That's what the Flash does. That's the Flash's thing, to run around. Superman only runs around if he, you know, because Superman flies. Why would you run if you can fly, you know? Okay, maybe in a tight area or something, sure, but it just looks so stupid. It looks so weird. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, no flights, no tights. You know what, Warner, I'm so sick and tired of you being so ashamed of your... You should have the entire DC Universe rights taken from you. I want that Marvel Studios make the DC movies. They would get a Justice League movie properly done, because they would make it like the Avengers. You know what? Disney should acquire DC, and then Marvel Studios should make the DC Universe. Hell, who knows? We could even have an Amalgam movie, or even at least a cartoon version of DC versus Marvel, then we could maybe even have a Dark Claw series. But no, of course you're never going to sell the rights to that, because you're too pussy. You're going to keep the rights, not do anything with any other characters other than Batman, and now you're trying Superman again, and hoping that this one doesn't completely fail. And you're trying to do a risk-free story with Zod, but making them all wear like the black shit and whatever. Okay, I'm not expecting you to go with the 70s costume, but why Zod? Zod is boring. He's just another Kryptonian. Why not Brainiac? Why not Metallo? Why not Parasite? There's so many goddamn villains that never got a chance in live action, in a movie, you know, maybe in television, but even then there was changed so much. You know, I want to see a proper Brainiac, not Nuclear Man. You know, I want to see the goddamn Hulk version, the goddamn reversed Hulk version that breathes fire and shoots ice rays, because that's why I read comic books, because I want to read that kind of shit, and it's awesome, you know. And, you know, is it so hard to do, Marvel? DC, what is with New 52? Everybody looks like a fucking idiot. Why does Superman have this stupid costume? You know, I liked him even more when he had the long hair. I'm not saying stick always with the same costume. Hell, I like Blue Energy Superman, because at least you had the balls to completely change everything and give him new powers and shit. Why didn't you stick with that? I actually like that guy. Some people were like, Blue Energy Superman. You like more the guy who has the stupid, what is it? In Action Comics, he had just the jeans and stuff, and that was still okay. And it wasn't the costume that bothered me, because he was just starting out. And it was a cool idea to kind of make him like Golden Age Superman and then his powers grow. That's a cool idea, but they kind of fucked it up because they tried to make him, you know, cool with the hipster kids. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? What is it? His costume has this neck thing, you know, like... I don't know how they call it. Like you would have a suit almost. It just looks weird. It just looks goddamn weird, and his arm things are longer because they don't know what to do with the goddamn suit because they want to change it so they make it look like an armor. And just like, he's not fucking Optimus Prime, he's Superman. Okay? And they take away his underpants thing and they replace it with a red belt and it looks shitty. It looked good, yellow belt, red underpants. Yes, it's a stupid costume, but almost every superhero costume is a stupid costume and doesn't make any sense. The only one that makes any sense and would work in the real world on any kind of level would be Punisher, even if there would be people with powers, you know? Because superhero costumes are all about attention, and in a way, it's a costume that shows I'm different than you, and I'm above you, and I can wear this shit, and it's cool. And I like that. I personally like that, you know? I got used to it. With this new Superman costume, it just looks like, oh, we removed his underpants. Aren't we great? Great. Now I have to look at his groin all the time because that's how it looks. He looks like he's naked. You know, it's like you took away the pants of the Smurf. That's how it looks like. He looks like a goddamn Smurf with the cape now. You know, the underpants. The only reason the underpants was there to break up the thing and don't make him look naked. And actually, I think the Superman costume is a cool costume. Okay. You think I'm lame and gay and whatever, you know, and, you know, there's no problem with being gay, and I didn't mean to say that. I'm going to probably edit that out because I will check that because everybody's going to hate me. But anyway, I'm just fucking sick and tired of Warner Brothers DC not knowing what their fans want. You know, they think putting out, rebooting their entire DC universe just when it was... Again, just when it was becoming good and becoming cool, and it was just how it was. There was stuff from the old school, but in a new school kind of darker way, without being dark and edgy, if that makes any sense. You know, you can be dark and edgy in a comic book, but still run around in the silly costumes and do this, and still have fun. What I really don't understand: why did they get Will Beale? Who the fuck is Will Beale? How the fuck did he get the job that every fucking nerd wanted? Now, a guy like Joss Whedon that directed Avengers, I can see him, you know, getting the job to direct Avengers because he's a big-ass nerd hero, and he did Buffy, he did Firefly, he did Angel. I mean, he was all into... That, okay, he just did TV, but he did shows that are legendary in nerd circles, okay? It's like, so, and he said that, he said himself, you know, people want to always take the superhero character in movies and, you know, and deconstruct him and shit, like in the Watchmen and Kick-Ass and those movies. He said, we haven't gotten to that point yet in movies, you know? We didn't do... things with superheroes that have been done in comics all the time, like the big crossover, the big teams, like Avengers, you know. That was the first time we actually did that. We had teams of superheroes, but we didn't have actually multiple movies tied together into one big universe. That was the dream that we had, and never dared to dream, never dared to utter, until we saw goddamn Iron Man in the Hulk movie, and then we saw Nick Fury, and first we were like, ah, this is never gonna happen, but this was a really cool thing. And then in every fucking Marvel movie after that, there was this moment, you know. I mean, I'm just like, and it culminated with Captain America. At the very end, you see the first scenes of Avengers, and I'm like, holy shit, this is really happening. This is, they're actually making this happen. Like, because I would say now that it isn't happening until I see some kind of footage, some kind of trailer. And then I see it because they said, we promised it, we are delivering it to you. It's like, why can't Warner do that? I mean, they've got the money, they got the manpower. We're not expecting 3 movies a year. Bring out 1 DC movie a year that is not Batman. Let Batman rest for a while, you know? Why not make it so... DC. You can have Batman every year for every movie, but not make him the main character. Instead, take the Avengers formula, replace Nick Fury with Batman. Why Batman? Would, you know, everybody says, oh, Batman doesn't want to be in the Justice League because he's too cool. Yeah, well, that's one idea, but maybe Batman, he's a guy that found out something, and now he's trying to get together this team because you know, not because he wants to, because he has to, you know. And he could be like a big douchebag, and he says, you know, I don't like you, big blue Boy Scout, but I will need your help, you know. And maybe he just wants to do a temporary thing, but maybe because Superman and Wonder Woman are like, yeah, let's do this shit. And then you could do that, and you could have Batman in every movie because you love Batman so much, you know. And I do, Batman is cool and all, but you know, what about Blue Beetle? What about Lobo? What about these other characters that will never get a movie, you know? Like, oh yeah, you will announce that, oh, Guy Ritchie's gonna make a Lobo movie. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. He's gonna make Lobo, whatever he's gonna do, Lobo. I mean, yeah, look at the Sherlock Holmes movies. You know, Robert Downey was kind of cool there, but it was like, I didn't even ex accepted it. Kind of, it's kind of really weird, Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is not, he's not that. Everything has to be so goddamn dirty and edgy and just like shit all over the old thing. And Avengers was exactly the opposite. You know, everything. You know, they changed some things, but you know, Thor was Thor, Cap was Cap, Hawkeye was Hawkeye. Sure, his costume was pretty much changed, but it was the ultimate costume. You know, it was a costume. There is many costumes for some characters, you know, and since he was in S.H.I.E.L.D., this costume made more sense. Does that mean he will never wear the classic costume? No. He might wear a version of that costume. We don't know. I'm not such a big pro I don't have a big problem with some minor characters having their costume changed. With Captain America, the big goddamn flag wrapped around him, the big goddamn shield. You had Iron Man flying around in a suit. You know, that's the great thing about Iron Man. His suit is the suit, and you can change it and whatever because he does switch suits, and you cannot remove the suit of Iron Man because that's where his powers come from. I mean, I even heard stuff that I was just messaged in Skype that they wanted to do a half mask for him or something because of FaceTime. By the way, FaceTime is one of the biggest enemies of superhero movies ever and comic book adaptions. That's the reason why Sylvester Stallone in that movie he took off his helmet because he wanted FaceTime, and I'm like, fuck FaceTime, you know. We want the characters, so, and I want to see the new Judge Dredd movie, the new Dredd 3D, and because he does, it's what's his name? I'm liking that actor more and more, the Pathfinder dude. And he was also in the movie Doom, which was shitty for the most part, but it had a couple of moments. But you know, you thought The Rock was the Doom guy, but it was actually what's his name? Carl Urban, right? I'm liking Carl Urban more and more. He's like, I mean, he's fucking McCoy, you know. I mean, he's Dead Jim, you know. I mean, that's him. I mean, Pathfinder, he was basically Viking Conan the Barbarian, with that grew up with the Native Americans, you know. I mean the new Star Trek movie, he was the closest to the characters. I mean, he was my favorite. I like McCoy. I like also Spock and Kirk, of course, but McCoy is cool, but he can get obnoxious sometimes. So I'm like, oh, I am the human side, and Spock is the inhuman, is the logical side, and Kirk has to decide. I'm like, anyway, I'm liking his stuff more and more. Like, and now that I think about it, he could possibly do a good Aquaman for the Justice League if they would consider putting in Aquaman for a bigger role. They said possibly cameo or something, and I'm like, he could do Aquaman, and he could make like a badass Aquaman. They should take like Aquaman and simply make him into the Thor of that movie, you know. And you know, make him like, I am Aquaman and I'm the Lord. You shall bow down to Aquaman. And I'm like, Aquaman is so lame because I listen to everything that other sources tell me, like Family Guy, because Family Guy knows everything, ma. Aquaman, you know, I figured out a way how Aquaman can beat pretty much the entire and fuck with the entire world. Like, he doesn't talk to fish, he commands them. Like, he could move entire populations of fish away and manipulate the sea trade and like starve out entire nations. Like, Japan would be pissed as fuck. Like, he could command the whales to ram the ships and shit. And just move the whales around, create giant waves. In Marvel versus DC, he fought Submariner, who's considered to be physically stronger than Aquaman, but this was the Aquaman who got his arm. He was the 90s Aquaman that was, they tried to make Aquaman cooler, I guess, for the 90s Liefeld kids, and they, like, Black Manta killed his wife and son, Aqualad. And I haven't read that issue, but that's what it's saying. And he lost his arm, and he got like a harpoon thing. And I actually like that. And he got a big old beard, like some kind of, grizzled, he was like fish hobo with a shotgun hook arm, something like that. I don't know. Like, he was more about survival now, and then like he was like the guy who had nothing to lose and really just wanted to survive. Like, he said that to Submariner. Submariner is all about honor and pride and being the king of Atlantis and not taking shit. And he was basically kicking Aquaman's ass, and then Aquaman was just saying, "Yeah, I don't give a fuck. If I could just hide under a rock and wait till this whole two universes beating the shit out of each other so one can survive thing is over and get out of it, I'd be fine." And he just fucking flabbergasted a Submariner, Namor, and Namor was just looking, "What the fuck are you talking about? Are you that much of a pussy, like, without honor?" Like, he was... Submariner is like Aquaman, only stronger and pretty much with the mentality of Worf, like a Klingon. Like, in the Marvel Universe, a lot of people don't even say, there's a lot of people who like Namor, and he's also one of the oldest. Him and Captain America are the two only characters from the Golden Age that survived until now and have been relevant characters. The other character, which is pretty much the first superhero of Marvel ever, is the Torch. Not Johnny Storm Torch, because he's actually the second Torch, but the first one, which was an android. Same powers, though. He could become living fire, basically. Which is kind of weird, an android to become living fire, but it's goddamn comic books, The first timely comics, as Marvel was known back then, was actually called Marvel Comics. And it was one of these, and like, how you say, those comics that had a bunch of stories in them, anthologies and anthology series where they have multiple stories, and instead of like basing it on one character, because a lot of times they would be like trying shit out, like, okay, let's do some stories and then let's try some shit out. And almost every major superhero started in one of them. Anyway, he could be an interesting Aquaman, and just like, not give a fuck and saying, "Oh, your powers are only good on air, on water or shit." And Aquaman does have some level of durability and strength too, because you do not go up and down in the ocean and not be somewhat indestructible, because those pressures from way up there, from above water and to the deepest points of the oceans are insane. If a human being would try that, you would just become puddle with, and that's without any submarines or even then, going deep, it takes a while because you have to get used to the pressure. So, in order to take those pressures, you have to have some durability. And I like that, that does make sense. Now, and Aquaman is also is the king of Atlantis, so he is commanding a underwater army, which is way more developed than Earth is. And that's the other thing. What I said, Aquaman can basically take out a bunch of the people in the Justice League. As I said, he can manipulate the whole fishes, so people cannot, many countries would starve, and He could also even create waves and shit. At one point, Aquaman had like kind of a water hand when he could use magic. Since magic is a part of, as far as I understand, in Atlantis, there is magicians. So he could use magic, for example, against Superman. Kryptonite, which apparently falls only in America, it would make much more sense. And I think that's true, is that Atlantis should have the biggest supply of kryptonite, because the Earth is like, what, two-thirds, even more, of water? So, like, three-quarters of water. So it's mostly water. So, and he commands that entire area. And who knows what kind of giant octopus creatures he can command. I mean, I'm not saying Aquaman isn't the greatest, and he does have this limitation. But, you know, people have been always saying, oh, Superman is lame because he's too powerful. And you like Batman, why? You know, because he's Batman. I mean, that is the stupidest reason to say anything. Batman is cool because he uses his intellect and his spirit, his indomitable spirit, and also his gadgets and his martial arts prowess to defeat the greatest of enemies. But mostly he uses his brain. I remember in the Morrison run of Justice League, the entire Justice League was basically, the entire world was taken by storm by these new superheroes, which was in a way like, you know, a new group of, you know, superheroes. Because the old Justice League was, you know, kind of failing, whatever, I don't know anymore. But point is, you had these new superheroes pop up, and they were just, in a way, solving the world's problems. You know, they were taking villains, executing them, they were using their powers to make a jungle in the desert. And they were not quite the authority, but back then that was some dark shit, you know. And it was funny because I remember there was a bunch of the villains, and they're just, you know, using their heat ray vision to shoot them, kill them. And one of the characters looked a lot like, he was just shown from back, but he looked a lot like Wolverine. Anyway, so the Justice League, it's the classical Justice League. You got Superman, Batman, Kyle Reiner, Green Lantern, you got Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman, and Flash. Yeah, pretty much that. So the classic, that is the class, and also Aquaman, and that is the classic setup for Justice League for me. I mean, I and of course that setup changed and stuff, and I'm saying you can put in there maybe Hawkman and or even Hawkgirl because of, you know, Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the animated series, and they can change, you know, Green Lantern to John Stewart. It might be preferable to you know, move away from the old Green Lantern movie and then reference Hal Jordan and put him in the second movie, and why not have, you know, tied in with multiple Green Lanterns, you know. Hal Jordan is going on a space mission, and he's putting John Stewart in charge, you know, of Earth, you know, because Hal knows something, because he has found something that he's, you know, investigating. So he's, you know, put this new guy, John Stewart, in case, you know. And or you could even get, it would be really funny if what's his name, the guy from Justice League International, Guy Gardner, you know, that would be hilarious, that would be awesome. I don't think that would do it, you know. I think Guy Gardner should be saved for a possible Justice League International movie, live action or animated. Now that it could happen animated, that there's a good chance that then live action, it's not action-packed enough, but who knows? I mean, basically, Warner has said the Man of Steel movie has to do well. They're waiting now, you know, they have, you know, they said they're looking for another writer, and it depends on how well Man of Steel does if they do a Justice League movie. Now, I'm thinking if Man of Steel does $1 billion, they definitely will do a Justice League movie. Now, I think at least it will have to do $800,000 or something like that, because that's what they want to have, the same money like Avengers and the other Marvel movies did. But you have to remember, The Incredible Hulk, the other reboot of the Hulk, which kind of started this whole thing, the Marvel Cinematic, didn't do really that well. I think it even did a little bit worse than the first Hulk movie, even though I think it was much better. Some people like the old Hulk movie more. And as much as I disliked the first Hulk movie, there were some moments that were actually pretty cool. Like, so it was the first time where we could see a proper jumping Hulk, a proper Hulk fighting the military. But I did like the Incredible Hulk more, and I loved how he said Hulk smash, and because that's what the Hulk does. And I loved how he fought a proper villain. Okay, he did fight Absorbing Man, the Hulk, but it wasn't Absorbing Man, it was his dad, which never really... His dad was never a factor, never a character that was... He was just invented because that Japanese director wanted to make some kind of introspective psychological thing. And it's a goddamn dude. It's the goddamn Jolly Green Giant jumping around smashing buildings. I mean, it's about as serious as an old school Godzilla movie. I mean, you can have sad moments, and they did in the new one. You know, they had him, he's walking away like in the series, like in a TV series. And you can make it a darker and a sadder story, but in the end, it's still a green dude jumping around punching shit. You know, I mean, you have to have a sense of humor, and that's why now you have the Avengers Hulk, Mark Ruffalo, where they played him up for laughs. And Hulk was always cool, but, you know, Hulk could also have fun. I mean, I remember the time when She-Hulk was breaking the fourth wall. You know, all these young kids are always saying, oh, yeah, Deadpool is so cool because he breaks the fourth wall. Fucking cartoons did that way back, and She-Hulk did that. And at first, I was alienated by that because, no, this, I want this to be real, and I know it's fake, but, you know, I don't want my fourth wall to be fucked with. But after a while, nah, it's cool. She knows it, but that doesn't mean that the world for her is not real. Now they have moved away from that, and she's now the lawyer of the superheroes, which is kind of cool, I guess. But I thought it was always cool that she also broke the fourth wall. And she had some really silly superheroes and characters hanging out. I don't remember that she was hanging out with Howard the Duck, but I read a story where she hung out with a guy called USA, literally, Ulysses Solomon Archer. And it was just silly, and I was thinking, what? But okay. And anyway, I don't think the Justice League movie is a lost cause. I think they did the right thing. Will Beal should be as close to a Justice League movie as Pluto is to the sun. He should be very far away. I think they should get a hire a better writer, get another script done, and don't rush it to 2015. I'm prepared to wait for a proper Justice League movie, but I want to see a cameo of a character. Now, it doesn't have to be Batman, but my biggest wish is to see Batman and Superman meet. Now, who knows, maybe in 2015 you could do a World's Finest movie, which would lead up to a Justice League movie, you know? Because everybody knows goddamn Superman and Batman. This is a no-brainer. I remember, I heard that, that remake of the Omega Man with Will Smith that I haven't seen yet. Apparently there's a scene where he's walking through New York, and there's a sign of a movie poster where you see the classical world's finest sign, which is the Batman symbol, and inside is the Superman symbol combined. And people were saying, is that a real thing? And, well, we were just kind of joking. The closest thing to a Batman-Superman movie was Batman, believe it or not, it's a script that never made it into a movie, thank God. And the movie was called Batman vs. Superman. I'm like, no. Batman vs. Superman will go two ways. Either Batman will use his green Krypton ring to stop and kill Batman. Of course he wouldn't kill Superman, but he could. He could even use it as a bullet. And because there has been a pretty cool Batman Superman comic where It was drawn by Ross, Alex Ross, and he did it in his in the very detailed painting style that he does his covers. And imagine a whole comic made like that. And it was a short one, but the point was, they showed like Superman gave Batman kryptonite to tell him, if I would ever go crazy or be controlled, you're my best friend. You should be the guy that stops me. And lo and behold, Superman gets brain controlled and is doing evil stuff. Batman basically he hangs himself onto Superman, and he said to himself, "I hate myself. That the only way I could figure out a good way to stop Superman is making a kryptonite bullet and putting in a gun." So he puts a bullet into Superman, and he's he stops, and Batman is really upset. He cries, and Batman is like the Ron Swanson of the DC universe. He will not cry easily. And because his best friend is about to die, and he was the guy to put the bullet in him, even though he had good cause for it, but he still feels like shit. And even a guy like Batman will break down. And luckily, Batman, has enough surgery skills to get the bullet out. And of course, Superman starts healing because he's Superman. And Superman is fine, and, they could figure out the thing, but break the spell, basically, of the mind-controlling bullshit. But point is, basically, the fight would go like this. Either Batman uses the kryptonite on Superman to kill him or defeat him, or Superman punches Batman in the face. His arm just goes through Batman and Batman is dead. Either that or the other way. It's the only time where the fight between Superman and Batman was actually cool was in Dark Knight Returns, where Superman was totally weakened because an atomic bomb has blocked the sun, and Green Arrow was shooting Superman with kryptonite arrows, and Batman had a fucking armor, and then he got one or two punches into Superman, but it's still Superman won because he's physically much more powerful, and Batman apparently died. And I kind of spoiled the comic, but it's like a 30-year-old comic almost by now. You should have read it. And that was the only time I found that fight interesting. And even then, we all knew how that's going to end, So that movie, thank God, didn't happen. World's Finest mean that they work together. Now, there might be a short little scene where they get kind of pissed at each other and one guy throws a punch or something. Something short. Like in the Avengers when Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor duke it out. It's like the Marvel law is that the heroes meet, they misunderstand each other, they kick each other's butt, and they become best friends and kick the bad guy's butt. And it's especially true in the Avengers and pretty much every Marvel and also DC comics group. Now, that's fine, but that shouldn't be the main thing. And the script was just horrible. It had nothing to do with comic books, really, that much. So a World's Finest movie would be sensible. And then, after that, you could make a Justice League movie. But I could also just live with a Justice League movie. I don't have to have a World's Finest movie, because the more the merrier. And I think it would go well. Now, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't think we'll hear anything. They have been saying shit, and they wanted, and they've been pushing this. But the only reason they have been pushing this is because they thought, oh, Avengers did really good. We can do this too. We have the franchise. Let's start developing one. And then somebody said, chill the fuck down. Who the fuck did we give? Who is this Will Beal guy? Who hired this guy? I think somebody fucked up and hired some guy who wrote some TV show episodes. Not a guy who wrote some epic movies, And nothing even in that direction, it's just ridiculous. So you really gotta think here, Now let's see who wrote the Avengers script. Now, it was wrote partially by Joss Whedon and Zach Penn. Who is Zach Penn? His name is kind of familiar. Okay, he actually wrote a bunch of superhero stuff. Like, holy shit. He wrote a bunch. Some good, some bad. He wrote the story for Last Action Hero. He wrote Inspector Gadget, X2, Incident at Loch Ness. He wrote Elektra. Not good. X-Men 2, Last Action Hero, Inspector Gadget, those are kind of fun. Inspector Gadget was okay for once, but they kind of fucked up Claw. He wrote also Last Stand. I think Brett Reiner fucked this movie up, because it's not just the script, it's also the director. He wrote Incredible Hulk, cool, and Avengers, and also Alphas, which is a TV series featuring kind of superheroes, kind of super detectives. So he has much more experience with superheroes. Like he knows what makes a superhero movie cool, especially also with the group, because he even wrote the Fantastic Four video game. Okay, whatever. I didn't like the Fantastic Four, but he wrote X-Men Last Stand, which wasn't really that great. It wasn't even good. It was enjoyable to a degree, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. I'm not as negative as other people are. Is it a superhero movie I could really watch all the time? No, but I still enjoyed it. But yeah, so he had some good movies that he wrote. He wrote X2, Last Action Hero, I thought was cool. And he has Elektra, an Incredible Hulk, so he has the experience, you know. And so yeah, Zach Penn, I'm like, and then you have Will Beale, who has one movie come out, and he's supposed to write the Avengers killer, the movie that is supposed to be better than Avengers. So they dodged a bullet here big time. The first time they wanted to get the director for Happy Feet to direct Justice League Mortal, that's how they called it. And I'm like, now people, there have been some people saying Chris Nolan should direct it because Chris Nolan is a perfect human being that can't do any wrong. No, Chris Nolan should stay away from this movie as far as possible, as far as fucking Andromeda from the Sun, because he would fuck it up. Nobody would have superpowers. Everybody would be wearing some kind of black outfit, and it would be about how they enter some kind of dream state, and how they're all cool in suits. You know, no, I don't need that. Nolan did three good Batman movies, but it's still not the Batman movie I want to see. You know, so. They were good Batman movies, but and I'm now sick of that Batman. You know, I want to see a completely new Batman that is more like the old school comics. You know, I'm not expecting the blue and gray Batman to pop up. It's gonna be based off the new 52 Batman, just like the new Superman has also a costume similar to that. It's gonna be like that, but you know, they'll have to. What could happen is that he's going to look like the Arkham Asylum Batman, which would be cool, because at least it would be the gray and black Batman for now, for once. And I'm saying, the guy who should write the Justice League movie and even direct it should be Paul Dini. Why? Because he basically did pretty much all the animated series that were great and the movies. So I am thinking that, why don't they do that? I really don't understand. Okay, so he's just doing animation. So people think that, oh, if you do one thing, you cannot be good at another thing, you know. Paul Dini understands the DC universe by now. You know, he's made enough cartoons and movies, because let's face it, sure, they were made for kids too, but they had some really dark and cool stories at times. That, I mean, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker was a great movie, and I think that was more for adults, but kids can enjoy it too. And I really love the style, how you mix the old school, 50s and 20s age, like Gotham looked like the Gotham of the 40s, but it was still, a new version of Gotham. It was really, really sweet, and all the characters were really well designed, and he made sense in the DC universe. He could have pretty much almost every character that was major in some degree was in the DC animated universe, and I'm like, why can't you get this guy who has proven himself again and again to do it in live action? I don't understand. Why Will Beale? I will never understand it. This guy has fucking so much experience, it's ridiculous. It's really, really ridiculous that you it's beyond my understanding that they didn't even consider it. Maybe he refused because it's a big responsibility and stuff, and he doesn't want to fuck it up. But, I don't think so that they asked him. I really think that they didn't ask him. Because, I don't know. Anyway, what needs to happen is basically, you know what my stance on this is. I'm not gonna get into that too much. Let me see here. We know that the universe is awesome, so let's just continue from there. D&D. So I've been more into D&D and shit, and like talking more about it. Also running a game again. So also watching more YouTube videos on that. So I think the next episode will be mostly about D&D and role playing, because right now, when it comes to the movies, the nerd movies, we pretty much know what's gonna come out this year. And unless there's some kind of major change, like the fucking Disney buying Star Wars, which I don't see anything like that happen in the near future. And there was like the Spider-Man might be in the Marvel Cinematic. I'm gonna believe it when I see it, when it's like fucking officially announced in some way or shape, because until fucking Sony runs out of every money and they have to go to Marvel, like, let us show Spider-Man be in your cinematic universe, unless I see some kind of official announcement, I'm gonna then believe it only. Other than everything is just like hoping, and the whole thing that Justice League movie isn't gonna happen, people saying that, don't be such negative Nancys. Look at it as a positive. Will Beale is not gonna write it. Will Beale sucks ass, and he should not be allowed. Why don't I get Zach Penn? If they're not gonna get Dini, get Zach Penn, I don't know if he's how contractually he's allowed to do it, but get Zach Penn. I mean, obviously he could do it, so, and let him write it, Get a comic book writer who did Justice League really well, get them together and let them write a movie, let them at it, let them write a story, and let it be awesome. So, that's what needs to happen, guys. That's what really needs to happen. Also, the new RoboCop suit looks shit, but you know that already. So D&D. So somebody asked me on the RPG Brigade that I should. It was Tim from, what is it, Samwise RPG, that I should tell one of my stories, crazy story adventures that I had. And it was actually one of the earliest adventures, and I was playing knight. It was Taron Turanigor, and a human knight, pretty simple character, but it's something that I have been working on. Like, I had always I was making a comic back in the day, and I made my world and my own fantasy world. I'm not gonna get into that too much because I want to still do stuff with that. I'm kind of protective about that world, but it's not there. I was considered maybe there is on one side of the planet, and the other world continent is in the other side. But I think I will just keep them separate. And we played GURPS, and in the first quest, it was really interesting because my friend that I talked already about, Durath, or Bites, how he's also known, he led me through this. I had to basically explore this dimensional portal. The king has commanded me to do so, and if I find allies there, then bring them here and make them citizens of this country, and I did went in there. Well, there was some kind of fox people or something because there's this one guy who really wanted to play, and I've been pretty lenient with races, but I think I'm just gonna retcon that race out of there because his race came from another universe and there are these guys with the fox tails. So it's not furry per se, but that guy was a furry and he would have made them a full furry thing. So yeah, he's a weird guy. I didn't really like him, and we didn't play. We all in total, we played maybe two sessions. He DM'd one, which was a complete total failure to the most degree. He made this big dungeon, basically a big mansion, and to be a dungeon with a big map and shit. And the problem it failed is that I was just playing this big troll. Oh, it was a hobgoblin, with like a 9 foot tall hobgoblin, basically a big old idiot tank, and and that's again another session I'll talk about. What the thing is, I have to still post the recorded sessions, and I've been saying this all the time, but I will do it, believe me. Anyway, and the Wrath was playing his vampire character, I believe, and we went into the dungeon, and it was partially the Wrath helped him design it. And you might think, well, he knows already stuff from the dungeon, then it's not good. The Wrath could play in a way that his character wouldn't know about it. It did work, and it was kind of funny because he really can get into a character and really, not play like he doesn't know these things, and play based on his character, how intelligent or how dumb his character is, whatever. And I played a pretty dumb, big brute, basically. And all he said is, and it was my hobgoblin character, Pronk. And I Pronk is a great guy. He's a, big old idiot, and it was so liberating to play a character like that. I had a similar one, Graw, which was a minotaur, and pretty much the same thing, just with an axe. But Prunk was a favorite of mine. I should play him again. And basically told me smash wall, and then I said yes, smash wall. Like that's how he kind of talked. He was basically like a uglier, more disgusting, and not as powerful version of the Hulk. Not even close as powerful, but pretty strong still. So I did smash the wall with the club, and we got out of the mansion, and that was the end of the dungeon. After we killed a couple of bugs and got past a trap, which was actually a pretty good trap, but the guy, he didn't. That was kind of the highlight. And that trap that was good was a trap that Durath did. So, and that was on the entrance. So the rest, Durath didn't know. So, but anyway, that was the one session we played, and then there was one session where he played, and he brought this whole background story for his race, and I was like, holy shit, you went way overboard, and it was cool that he, and I was really excited actually, even though I knew it wasn't really, he kind of toned down the furriness. All they had was like a furry tail, and I'm not against people playing anthropomorphic animals and shit. It's like, you're a furry when you're like sexually aroused about that stuff, So that's the kind of thing I think is weird, but it's not for me. I don't care what you do. It's just not for me. And but there were just like humans with like foxtails, so it was a little bit more, interesting. But his character was kind of. I remember the one session he played, and he just sucked. He could not get into character for the life of him. Like he could make his character with all the advantages, disadvantages, the background, everything. He could write up the whole storyline of his clan and shit. But when it came down to playing, he just couldn't do it. He just sucked. And really, there is no bad role playing as long as you have a character that you can play. Even if it's, you know, go simple. If you cannot play your super complex, multi-layered wizard dude or cyborg assassin dude or like Cthulhu scientist, then play something more simple. Like play a giant hobgoblin, for example, or just play a combat brute, you know, play something simple. There's a character out for you there, you know. You know, it's. I'm not saying that you have to be a Shakespearean actor, but when you write down one thing and constantly do another thing and really just are just struggling to decide, that's my biggest issue, is this, that a character, a player, cannot decide what his character does because he's so afraid to do the wrong thing. And there's no wrong thing. The worst, maybe your character dies or your character something negative happens, but that doesn't matter. That's a consequence, and that can be fun, and there can stuff can happen, and that's the whole thing in role playing. You want stuff to happen. It's when it drags down, and you know, if you just do one combat situation after the other, and that's the whole game, then you might as well just play a video game and be done with it. You know, I always thought role playing is important. Now I do like combat in a role playing game. But in some settings, it's not even appropriate, I think. Combat is not even appropriate. Yes, you can have entire... I had entire role-playing sessions, and we didn't even use the dice once. And we had a great time, because there was no reason to roll a skill check or there was no fight, because a lot of times the characters would avoid the fights with interesting ways. Like, Drath was great with that. Like, I had the typical dragon is terrorizing a town and he's wanting virgins and shit like that, a sacrifice, you know, go and stop the dragon, that's all I said. And Drath stopped the dragon, he was with his vampire dude again. He basically told him, dude, you're an old race, don't piss off the people, you don't want to die either, make a deal with them. And dragons in my world are not stupid, you know, you can talk with them, and if you make sense, they will not burn you to a crisp, and they will, you know, they will admit, you know, yeah, dragons are fucking arrogant pricks, but at best they will say, oh, that's a good idea, it's basically what I was thinking, or something, and they will claim that that was their idea, but they will do that, pretty much, if it makes sense to them. You know, and dragons can be wrong and can make mistakes, even though they are ancient beings with great knowledge. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's why you have wisdom and intelligence as two separate things. You can be very intelligent but have low wisdom. That's pretty much a mad scientist who's highly intelligent, but it just doesn't have any common sense. You know, he takes corpses and sews them together and lets electricity flow through them and tries to bring back life because he's trying to play God. That is not a sensible guy. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you're evil, you have a low wisdom, because you can have a high wisdom and high intelligence and still be evil. Like a mad scientist or a wizard who has high wisdom uses his knowledge to gain power in less theatrical and more subtle ways, you know. I don't know, building a machine to control somebody's mind, or subtly manipulating somebody with just hypnosis or suggestion, you know. That's the thing, what you want in a role-playing game, even if it's a simple dungeon crawling role game like I've been doing the last years. There's still role-playing involved, that is the real fun part about it, and it's the interaction of the characters, it's what the characters do, it's stuff you throw in that is not combat, like how D&D 4 calls it a non-combat encounter. I find it so ridiculous that they call the role-playing, the actual game, the non-combat encounter, and how you can roll to get those, to solve those encounters, and I'm like, you know, it's 4.0 was great in many ways. Like, they made combat, they streamlined combat in a very well way. And as much as you want to hate 4.0, you gotta admit the 4.0 combat was actually pretty good, and it worked pretty well and flowed pretty easily. But that's what it pretty much was. All the other role-playing stuff you had to inject into it. Now people saying there's no role-playing game in 4.0, saying, well, it's not as pushed. It's not, shoved into your face that, I mean, D&D was more about combat usually because it started as a war game anyway. So at most they had alignments, like if you are good, then you're good, then if you're evil, if you're lawful, you're lawful, if you're chaotic, you're chaotic. It's like if you act out of that character, then you will be punished. And like that's the thing about alignment. It's GURPS has advantages, disadvantages, which is a whole different way of doing that. It has these things, these reasons, these physical, social, mental advantages and perks and things that make up your character. Like you might not be evil, you might just be an obsessed guy. Like, for example, is Gargamel evil, or is he just fucking super obsessed with killing and eating the Smurfs? Actually, did you know that the original reason for Gargamel to find the Smurfs in the comic book, in the original comic book, he has been looking for them because he wants to. He's actually an alchemist, kind of a hedge wizard, and he's trying, like a lot of alchemists, to create the Philosopher's Stone. And he actually finds a grimoire that shows the recipe how to make a Philosopher's Stone. And you have to put in a Smurf. And he says, "What the fuck is a Smurf?" And it's some mythical being that nobody has found yet. And that's why there hasn't, obviously, that's why there hasn't been a Philosopher's Stone. I think that's the thing he wants to gain. And it makes sense. The Philosopher's Stone, obviously back in the real world, they just made up the Philosopher's Stone to say, "Oh yeah, I can change lead into gold, my king. Now let me do my science and let me try to do some awesome shit while I just tell you all these fairy tales about making lead into gold." Okay, sure, there was alchemists. I'm sure that believed that, but the ones that were worth their weight, they were basically scientists trying to do some science experiment and getting funding. The only way you're going to get funding is to work on the person's greed. Tell them, "Yes, I'm making a spell, a magical stone that can change lead into gold." People weren't dumb back in the day, especially the ones that were actually educated, like a lot of alchemists. Sure, there might have been some mad and sane alchemists that actually thought that they could do it, but who the fuck knows? It was a long time ago. And there was people, yes, a lot of alchemists also did, try and practiced actual magic. Well, not real magic per se. They thought it was real. It was the ritualistic thing, like demon summoning, and there was even angel summoning. Whether the Kabbalah had angel summoning and golem creation, which I heard that it's they write in a way a command and put it in the golem's mouth, which I found it was interesting because I always thought it's kind of like putting a diskette into a robot, and I always thought, you could maybe do a campaign where people time travel back, let's say to the medieval Hungarian part, which is now the Czech Republic, or which was known as Bohemia at the time, and you had that, what's his name, that, what is the rabbi's name who did this type of magic, occultism. It was also in the movie The Golem and the book, right. Judah Loew Ben Bezalel, and yeah, he was an actually real rabbi, and apparently that he made a golem. And there's also cool types of magic, and I mean, the people what did back in the day, how magic worked in their eyes was different somewhat in many ways from the D&D magic, of course. But I mean, obviously Christianity didn't tolerate that shit, so there was people doing it, but a lot of times in secret and shit. And but a lot of it was just propaganda of the witch hunters. But I'm not going to get into that. But still, a lot of interesting thoughts for role playing sessions. Where was I going with this? Again, rambling, rambling, rambling. The thing is, right? Combat is great, but if you just do combat, it's kind of the meat and potatoes of a lot of role playing settings. But it's like just a small element or even a non-factor in many other role-playing settings, because D&D is just one of many role-playing games. Yes, it's the most played still to this day, one form of D&D where I also include Pathfinder, is it's the most played, yes, but there's many others being played in many different settings. In any kind of settings you can imagine, there has been role-playing games played. Really, and I'm not just talking officially released role-playing games, because a lot of people have developed their own, either modified one system or just made one out of scratch. It happens all the time. I mean, I remember I was in a camp once, and I came up with a system, and I wasn't alone. There was a couple people there. I was in high school, and there was other kids, and we said, "Hey, I like role-playing too. We do have dice, but we don't have a book, a role-playing game book. Then we could just make a basic system out of that, you know." And we just decided what's the stats, what to roll, and very simple. And obviously, it wasn't a balanced system in any way. But you know, I played, and another guy DM'd, and I DM'd, and they played, and we had a good time. I played some kind of half vampire, paladin, knight, something like that, and he was just going on town on this village, killing everyone. Then I fought some kind of demon, and I went on, and the guy was drawing up a map and stuff. It was very simple and silly fun. It was around a campfire. I know I played a game where that was in another camp where I actually worked, and that was in college, a Boy Scout camp where I worked at. I was a zone director, and there was another guy, and he was there's into role playing games, but he said, "You know, I like D&D and shit, but the way how I do it is very simple. We get a dice, and most of it we just do through narrative ways. And whenever there is a time where there's a conflict, then both people roll, and whoever has the highest roll can say what happens. But you know, if it's a draw, then it's a draw something." It was very, very, very simple, simplified conflict resolution, but it still counts as a role-playing game. So there's many ways to do role-playing games. There's role-playing games that use cards. There's role-playing games that don't use any kind of dice or something. The way how they do conflict resolution, some do it with a resource management. There has been one Marvel, is it the Marvel Universe role-playing game, which came after the TSR one years later, and then it got replaced with the one that we have now, which is more about the where they it's very role play focused, it's very story focused. The one that it had, like, you had different stats, and then you had these counters, you know, these the same kind of counters you would use in magic games, you know, and these kind of colored beads that were flat on the lower part, and you would set up the different stats, and then you would compare them with the DM, and then that's how a fight was based. But I always thought that's just sucky, because what I really liked with dice is you have a chance of randomness. Even with cards, you have a chance of randomness, you know what I mean? Okay. That's basically, I'm just going to stop it here because I've been rambling on for a while, and it's late, so I'm going to pop in a song, and that's pretty much it. And may the Death Mug of Doom be with you, fellow Beastians.